Reading John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming where neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
The church, a blood-bought, spirit-filled, heaven-bound body of people. So we cannot separate Christ and the church. And the church is extremely important. And so how can we be an effective, healthy, vibrant church? Well, I think number one, it has to be Christ-centered. The church that is effective must be challenged to march to the call of the heavenly cadence and not to the beat of this world's drummer, who would divert our attention from the ultimate reality of the center of the church. And the center of the church must be Christ. Colossians chapter 1, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So, we must love Jesus, preach Jesus, look to Jesus, glorify Jesus, show Jesus in our everyday lives. We need to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. May his spirit divine all our being refine, as we sometimes sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. And then number two, an effective church has to be grounded in the Word of God. We have confidence in the Bible as the authoritative Word of God. It is our ultimate source of information, our guide for understanding who he is as head of the church. And so our preaching, our teaching, our praying, our singing, our giving, our communing are all based on the holy inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So Christ-centered, grounded in the Word of God. Now, let's consider some characteristics of this Christ-centered, scripture-grounded church. I think, number one, we need a clear vision. We need to understand where we are going, what it is that we would like to accomplish. Helen Keller said, "It is a terrible thing to see, but have no vision." We are blessed to have shepherds leading us, challenging us with opportunities to spread the gospel and to grow in the Christian faith. Number two, we must have a definite, real passion for the lost. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We are called to plant, we are called to water, but God will give the increase. And so what does that mean for all of us? It means contacting people. It means trying to teach people, trying to lead them to conversion, and then continuing to teach them, to ground them in the Word of God. So it's important that we try to do those things. What was Jesus passionate about? I would suggest that he was passionate about at least two things. One, I think he was passionate about the will of God. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 6, verse 38, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Do you believe that Jesus was passionate about the will of God? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And so certainly that is one of the areas that I need to have passion about. But I think Jesus, of course, was also passionate about people. We just read from Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The will of God and people. And so let's continue to have that real, definite, genuine passion for the lost. Number three, there needs to be fervent spirituality. Romans 12, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. And Paul in Colossians 3, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. We have a revealed message. We have a redemptive message. We have a relevant message. A message that should stir us up and get us excited to reach out to our community. Number four, there needs to be heartfelt worship. In the text read this morning, Jesus encouraged us to worship in spirit and truth. And I do hope and pray that we can all say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You see, worship provides us an opportunity, number one, to encounter the living God. An opportunity to encounter God. Worship is all about God. It's not just about us. It's about encountering the living, holy God. And we've sung this morning, I stand in awe of you. And I hope when we were standing, we were just reminded of what an awesome, powerful being our Heavenly Father truly is. But worship is also an opportunity for us to be edified, to be built up, to be strengthened in the faith. That's one of the reasons for our coming together, is to be edified, to be built up. But then worship also provides us an opportunity to engage the seeker. Engage those who may be searching for a relationship with God. So we encounter the living God, we are edified or built up, and we hopefully have an opportunity to engage that one who may be seeking to know more about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But then I think another thing is loving relationships. And we've talked about that a good bit here this year. There are some 61 and other statements in the New Testament. And I believe those statements are an admission that we need one another. But it also reminds us that it takes time to build meaningful one another relationships. We do need each other, but it does take some time. But I think number six, we need to continually evaluate ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test? So I think it's important for us to regularly evaluate our prayer life. We can evaluate our attitude. We can evaluate our priorities. Those are some of the areas that we can go about when we do this self-examination, when we evaluate ourselves, examine ourselves to make sure that we are staying strong in the faith. Remember that revival begins with me. A noted preacher asked, how? Go home, get into a room, kneel down, draw a chalk mark around yourself, and ask God to start a revival. That's where it starts, doesn't it? With me and with you. And maybe that is a part of that evaluation process that we can go about. And then I believe that we need to have that genuine sense of joy in the Lord. Nehemiah 8 in verse 10. Nehemiah 8 in the context there, they are about to celebrate the Feast of Booths. So that's where they will go out and build booths and live in these temporary shelters to remember the wilderness wanderings of God's people. But in the context there in verse 10, Nehemiah 8 in verse 10, then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is indeed our strength. Christianity, of course, is not a sideline. It must be mainline. Not just an hour on Sunday, but 24 hours a day. And so I want to encourage my Regency family to continue to reach out. Let's thank God for those opportunities to do that very thing. Let's strive to be a cross-centered, scripture-grounded church with a clear vision, a passion for the lost, a fervent spirituality, heartfelt worship, loving relationships, regularly examining ourselves, and having a genuine sense of joy in the Lord. The game was close. Time was running out. The home team was ahead by 4. Had the ball. Just needed to run out the clock. Coach said, let's surprise them and run a pass play. Well, the pass was thrown, but the defensive back cut in front of the intended receiver, intercepted the pass, and took off for what looked like to be a game-winning touchdown. The quarterback, not known for being very fast, took off after the guy, caught him, and tackled him at the 5-yard line. It turned out to be a game-saving tackle as the defense held while the clock ran out. After the game, the losing coach came up to the winning coach and said, hey, all I heard was how slow your quarterback was. Yet he ran down my speedster. Yeah, the winning coach answered, but you have to understand something. Your man was running for 6 points. My man was running for his life. So I think if you're a quarterback, and Justin over there could probably identify with that, that's when maybe you get a little faster at that particular point. But knowing our purpose, what we're running for, what we're reaching out to do, makes all the difference. My brothers and sisters, we are running for life. For an abundant life here, and for that life that we're going to have with God. And we have a reason to have some passion and some enthusiasm and some energy, because we are running for something that is more important than anything else in this world. a Christ-centered, Scripture-grounded church. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here today who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, we hope that you'll come and make that decision today. If you're here and desire the prayers of our congregation for any particular reason, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. We want to be a church that encourages, that builds up, that helps. And so if we can help you by praying with you and praying for you, please come and share that with us this morning. And so if there's any way that we can serve you today, would you come as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement?